Hello there, my friends. How are you doing? So glad that you are joining me tonight. Excited to be here. Orion is asking an important question already, right out of the gate. What did you do for your anniversary dinner? That's right, my friends. I don't come to you very prepared tonight. And that's because today is our 30th wedding anniversary. Hard to believe. I still feel like I'm 14 years old, and I've been married for 30 years. Unbelievable. Wow, how time flies, but then how oftentimes it feels like things move so slowly. So because of that, I kind of took the day off a little bit. My wife had to work. She has started a new job, and so we didn't really have the opportunity to take the day off. And because we are rebuilding our lives after me running for Congress, we didn't really have the ability to go anywhere or do anything too exciting. But our goal is that in sometime in our 30th year, so we have a year from today, sometime before August 23rd, 2022, we're going to do something big and amazing for our 30th wedding anniversary. We've given ourselves a year. Today, to answer your question, Orion, today we just went to the Cheesecake Factory and up in Murray. And it was good. We enjoyed it. And I still have some dessert left over. And my wife has so many leftovers that it's going to last her for 3 days. So it's a three-day anniversary meal-wise. But yeah, 30 years. Can't believe it. Jenny says happy anniversary. Rick says happy anniversary. Jenny says my anniversary is on Thursday. Congratulations, Jenny. How many years? So because of that, I didn't spend the day doing a lot of show prep. There are some things on my mind, and I thought maybe I could show you some of the things that I do with show prep, because I do have a list of stories here that I wanted to look at. And so I can take you through those and we can kind of do the process together if you want. That would be cool. Jenny has been married for 15 years. Congratulations. So we can do that together, or you can ask me anything you want. You want marriage advice? do you want to talk about anything going on in the news or the media today? I'm probably watching it a little bit. We can talk about that. Whatever you want. We can do an Ask Me Anything, whatever's on your mind. Whatever you want to share, we can do it any way that you want. I do want to remind you, so many of you who have tuned in tonight, you are currently patrons on Patreon or on Podbean. And thank you for that. It means a lot. I have been wanting to provide more to you than just a broadcast that everybody gets for free if you're a patron. So I've been working on that quite a bit behind the scenes, and we rolled it out last time. And it's a membership program that is available at jmcfarland.com now. And you can come in at the same level, whatever monthly contribution you're at. You can come in at that same level at jmcfarland.com. Only now you're going to get cool things and prizes. I hope they're cool. It's more than you're getting now. So if you were in there today, for example, if you're on the members program, I put out a new video today called JMAX Snacks. And this is what I used to do, the Did You Know that I used to add to kind of this broadcast. That's now available. So JMAX Snacks only for patrons. Members will also get commercial-free video. There's a link to watch this video live now with comments, without having to see any commercials. It's not perfect yet. In fact, I need to go over and see if any of you are commenting there. Not perfect yet. But it's getting there. So I'm excited about that. So, lots of great things, plus access to my books. I have a book out about marriage. I made it 30 years, about parenting, I have webinars for those available as well. Check it out. You will have to cancel your membership at Podbean or Patreon when you come over, or you can keep them both if you want, or you can stay at Podbean or Patreon, and you just won't receive the cool prizes. So my plan is to load it up with content for just you supporters and make everybody else jealous. So check it out. And in fact, Chris, I saw that you switched today. Chris says he switched over today and it was super smooth. The other thing is I want you to help me build it. So if you have any suggestions, again, something I've been working on behind the scenes and I'm a little nervous rolling it out. David says there'll be 50, I'm assuming anniversary, 54 years on the 6th. Congratulations, David. We should be asking you for marriage advice. That is fantastic. Orion says, I went to Jake Hunsaker's campaign lunch. I busted my butt moving stuff and setting it up. It was good. His speech was suspiciously like one of yours. We had Jake on Informed Utah when he announced Jake is running against Burgess Owens. I had lunch with Jake back when he was considering running for Congress. And like you, Orion, I heard a lot of stuff that sounded very familiar. He's looking to reform and reshape the Republican Party. Really, really good guy. So check out his campaign. David says he was there too. So very cool. And Jake invited me to be there, but it was 30th wedding anniversary or Jake Hunsaker's event. Now, why do you think I've been married for 30 years? Because I have chosen wisely. So very cool. So head over to jmcfarland.com. Let me know what you think there. Check out the live stream. Should be going now. If you are a member at jmcfarland.com. And so lots of great stuff there. So I'm super excited about that. What else? Changes to my microphone setup here. And I want to do a test here. Can you hear Carl the Cricket? Yes or no? Let's listen in. Tell me if you can hear Carl the Cricket. This is an important part of the update that I just did. Let me know, can you hear Carl? Another update. I told you a little bit about this this event. And it was that my daughter rescued an animal, a dog. Heather says she can hear Carl. David says no. Let's try one more time. So what I've got is I've got a system that is digitally taking out lower end audio and specifically Carl the Cricket. So Heather says it's really faint. David says he can't hear him. So Carl is there. I can hear Carl. Carl is whispering in my ear, but he's gotten kicked off the show. So if you hear him just a little bit, you probably won't hear him when I'm talking. So there you go. David says, I can hear Carl's cousin at my place. I like crickets. I'm a big fan of the crickets, just not during the show. So back to the story. My daughter, she rescued a pet, a dog. They live in a third story apartment. And I'm like, you're going to go up and down the stairs, you know, to take this dog to the bathroom constantly. You know, I tried to warn her a little bit softly, and they really made a great choice. It's part Australian Shepherd, part Labrador, and just a very loving dog. But after a few days, they just realized that it's too soon. It's not enough for them. And so I'm like, we had decided a while ago, we're not going to get another dog. At least for a while. And but this dog is so loving and so easy. I'm like, okay, bring the dog over for a few days. And this dog is, all it wants is to be loved. It will play, but reluctantly. This, you know, most dogs that I've had will come over and they'll let you pet them for a little bit. And eventually they get bored of you and they move on. Not this dog. This dog will let you pet it and will demand to be loved 24/7. And she'll do things like, if I'm in the office working, she will come in and I'll pet her with my hand while I'm working, and then I'll stop. And so she'll leave the room for a few minutes and like it's a reset and come back in and try and get more. And then she parks herself in the hallway where I have to walk out and where my son walks out so that we can't miss her when we come out, and she rolls over on her back and demands that you rub her belly. But this is the easiest creature I have ever had to deal with. Doesn't chew things up, uses the doggy door perfectly, only wants love. And I'm, how do I send this dog back to the shelter? I can't do it. So the only thing is I don't like the name. So we're doing the renaming thing. Is that abusive on a dog? Her name is Harriet. It doesn't flow well. I'm just not a fan of Harriet. So we're renaming her Lani Kai. Lani for short. Lani Kai being our favorite beach in Hawaii. What do you think? Let's see. Michael says, oh, leave Carl alone. Or is it Carl? Actually, I didn't get rid of Carl for you guys. You guys don't mind Carl, but I do. I get paid to host other podcasts and I interview people on a regular basis for these other podcasts. And some of them schedule with me at night. So I'll be doing, I'll be doing a podcast interview with someone in India at midnight. And because that works out best for their time zone. And these are podcasts that are published professionally, video and audio, for different channels that are paying me to be the host. And I can't have Carl in the back chiming in on those. So it wasn't for you guys, it was for them. Orion says, you know what they say about the internet, pics or it didn't happen. Do I have a picture of, I realize we're just kind of freeform chatting here tonight, but let's see, because you asked, Orion, let's see if I have a picture of Carl. Oh, here's a picture of my daughter in New Orleans with her cat. She just sent that over. There you go, but that's not Harriet or Lani Kai. Let's see what else I have here. Okay, let's see. How about video? Can I just drag video in here? Let's see. Oh, well, we tried to do video before and it fails miserably because of how I have this set up. So let's not do video. All right, here we go. No, that's video too. You can hear the squeaker, can't you? I'm just teasing you guys. Just wasting time. Oh, here we go. There is Harriet getting loved. Oh. And many of you remember Ricky the Corgador. Ricky has moved to Washington with my daughter because that dog could be a stunt dog. It could be an athlete. So better with my daughter, who's a rock climber, and everybody else. There's another picture of Lani Kai, Harriet. Orion says, for cute. Yeah. So there you go. So the newest member of the McFarland household. There you go. Anything else on your guys' mind? Jake Hunsaker, Afghanistan, maybe. I shared with you, I did a video, it's been a week or so ago. It was the day that the capital of Afghanistan fell. And I did a video about who's responsible for it. And I highlighted the partisan opposition, not the political opposition, as people criticize Biden for following Trump's plan. Now, my question, the only question has been not who's responsible. Both parties are responsible. Two Republican presidents, two Democratic presidents. Both sides are responsible for this mess. The only question for me after that has been, would Trump have handled the withdrawal of citizens and troops any better than Biden? And there's no really way to know that. So then the next question is, did Biden mishandle it? And that's hard for me to know. And I think it's hard for you to know. If you listen to Republicans, he did. What I've been watching for is whether or not any Democrats would come forward and say, wait a minute, this is really bad. Because if you start hearing Democrats come forward, now you know you're on to something. So I had flagged this story. I hadn't read it. This is Democrat Representative Jason Crow. Breaks with Biden on Afghanistan withdrawal deadlines. He says conditions have changed. You're starting to see some Democrats and some military leaders come out and be critical of this. But it's important to remember that the agreement with Donald Trump was that we would pull our troops out by May 1st, I believe was the deadline. Biden extended it to August, but that the Taliban would not take over. That wasn't the agreement with Trump. The agreement with Trump was that the Taliban would negotiate with Afghan forces, with our allies, and that they would come to some peaceable terms, and that the Taliban would fight terrorism. It was never that the minute we withdraw, that the Taliban would just take everything over. That wasn't the agreement. And so when you're sitting here and you're Joe Biden, and you have this agreement from the former president, the question is, should you trust it or not? Well, Republicans were saying it was this great agreement. It was touted as this amazing thing. Trump propped up the Taliban, which is amazing today because our state congressman Chris Stewart is out saying that Joe Biden is becoming an apologist for the Taliban. Just go back and look at the clips of Trump talking about the Taliban and praising them. So once again, partisan opposition or political. Partisan or principled opposition? Which one is it? That's why it's so hard to sift through all of this nonsense, right? But the question is, should Biden have trusted the Taliban? I think the answer is no, because I didn't think Trump should have trusted them. I didn't look at the agreement with the Taliban and say, oh man, he's got this great agreement with the Taliban and they're going to honor it. So the failure was on both sides. The failure was on Trump for trusting the Taliban, and then the failure was on Biden for trusting the Taliban. And the reality of what happened is that the minute we started pulling out, they just moved in without any resistance. They just took over. They didn't negotiate. They didn't honor their agreements. They just took over. And so was Biden somehow supposed to know that was going to happen? I don't know. I haven't seen intelligence reports yet that say clearly that was known. So to me, once again, what I see is political infighting here. That's what I see. And I see partisan opposition, not principled opposition. Both sides trying to make hay out of this. It's just really reveals a lot of hypocrisy when we're just months removed from celebrating Trump's amazing agreement with the Taliban. Now, I did have this. I'll show you guys if you want to see it. How many of you are still, some of you are still hanging on with me? Yeah, you are. This is the system. Let's see if I can pull this up. Wow, we're being slow today. Here we go. So this is the system that I use for show prep. This is a program called Feedly. I don't know if I can make it bigger for you. So what happens is I have all of these news sources that I've developed over the years, and they all come in here under the All tab. And what happens is I will scroll through them. So here's funny moments when old people fail at using technology. So I scroll through these. And so here, I told you I'm still following Texas. So here you go. Fight over Texas mask mandate ban spills into Dallas County District Court. So if that's a story that I want to talk to you about, I click on the little star here. And I save that to either the update, which I do every day, or I save it to the live, which I do on Tuesday and Thursday night. If it's a snack, that's a video that will only be available to patrons at jmcfarland.com. Or if it's Utah, for Informed Utah. So I save it to a board here. So if I save it to JMAC Update, because I may want to talk about that tomorrow, then that goes somewhere else. And then I just scroll through. So I'm not actually reading through these stories yet. I'm just looking at headlines, maybe kind of scanning. Here we go. Salt Lake County DA says conviction for these two men lacked integrity and asked that they be vacated. So that might be a Utah story that I'm interested in. So I'll click Utah. So this is what I do. And you can see right now, I only had three stories in there that I hadn't read. Back when I was doing my KSL days, this number, when I'd start out my day, was at 1,200 links. And my goal every day was to get it down to zero. Fortunately, Feedly, which is a service I use, this is not sponsored or anything. This is just behind the curtain. They now have an ability to find matching headlines or stories, and they only show you one of them. And if there are more, see how it says down here, related articles. It will show me that I've got other stories. So before I had so many duplicates, because you can imagine, especially on really popular stories, CNN's got a story, Fox has got a story, everybody else has got a story. So this has really helped me out. And then if you see over here on the left, you see my boards here. So you'll see if I click on update, you can see that story that I just flagged for Texas is there. And then this is where I will go in and I will deep dive. So this is one of the stories that I was interested in that I wanted to read before I went on the air, but I didn't have a chance, 30th anniversary and all that. So Trump allies are now denouncing his Taliban deal. So it's a CNN story, so you got a grain of salt it a little bit here. It's a video. So I would watch that video. CNN's John Avalon breaks down how Trump allies' recent criticism of President Biden's decision to leave Afghanistan ring hollow in light of their past statements. And I know some of you are like, you still do CNN? But this is one of those places for me where Republicans have taken a position today that is very easy to go back just a few months ago and say, wait a minute, which is it? Were we supposed to trust the Taliban or weren't we? Because you're telling me that somehow if Trump was in office, he wouldn't have followed his own agreement. That's the only way that this works. Because otherwise he would have followed his own agreement. And now the same thing happens Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to figure this all out. So I don't know if that's interesting to you guys, but that's basically the system that I use for my show prep. That's how I harness all of these news stories and sort them as I'm reading them, because it can become an unwieldy beast. And not a lot of COVID stories here. You see that Texas mask mandate story. Let's see. Do I have anything in live? Oh, I had this. Chess tournament players burn up to 6,000 calories a day. Okay. Loch Ness tourist posts scathing TripAdvisor review because his family didn't spot Nessie. Yeah, I'd be upset too. Orlando has so many. Oh, did you guys see this story? So I talked about this in the update. This is an important story. Here in Utah, we're being asked not to water our lawns as much and to conserve water. And in fact, tomorrow I am scheduled to speak with the mayor of South Jordan and their program, where they will help you flip your strip, that stretch of lawn that is on the other side of the sidewalk that is worthless. And Governor Cox wants that to be spread across the country. So water conservation is a big deal in Utah right now because of the drought. Well, guess what? Water conservation in Orlando is a big deal right now. But it's not because of the drought. Did you see this story? Orlando Mayor Buddy Dreyer is urging residents to cut way back on water because it's now needed for the stream of COVID patients flooding the city's hospitals. The demand for liquid oxygen is extremely high, as the priority is to use it to save lives and treat critically ill patients. And by the way, in Orlando, every ICU bed is full. And once again, we talk about how, you remember when the Salt Lake County Council told us they can't in any good form of consciousness tell a parent how to parent their child, and how I would normally agree with that, unless the actions of the child or the parent have a pretty strong ability to affect other people. Just like I would never say to a parent, I believe you should have the right to let your child smoke in school. I could never tell a parent what to do. It's their job. They have the intuition. No, you can't let your child smoke in school. Why? Because it affects the health of other people. Well, guess what affects the health of other people way more than smoking, and much more immediately? COVID. So this is another perfect example of how the actions of people not getting vaccinated are impacting everybody else and everybody else's freedoms. So yeah, generally, I want you to have your freedoms. Generally, I want to leave you alone in your own decisions. But when it rises to the level of potential impact on other people's lives and freedoms, that's when the government steps in. And it's always been that way, by the way. Let's see. Oh, this is a great point from Rick. Oh, you're still hearing that video. That's still... Sorry, now I've got to eliminate that video. Hang on. Okay, maybe now. Maybe now it won't work. Rick makes an interesting observation, and I've noticed this as well. CNN has been fairly critical of Biden. I guess they're not just the anti-Trump channel. I've noticed that as well. Heather says, back to Afghanistan. So the agreement was this terrorist group was going to make a 180 and then fight terrorism. Is that what I'm understanding? Yeah, you got it. Trump's agreement with the Taliban was that we would leave by May, and that in return for us leaving, they would negotiate with our Afghanistan allies and they would stop Al-Qaeda. That was the agreement. And he celebrated it, and Republicans celebrated it. Biden made the choice to abide by it. Who's wrong? Who's wrong in that scenario? Let's see. This is Chris. He says, my friend takes Actemra, I can't pronounce these names, for a very serious autoimmune disease. They are using it to treat COVID. So now there is a shortage and she doesn't have access to this vital medication. Great example, Chris. So people's choices not to get vaccinated. You know, we talk about how not getting vaccinated affects those who can't get vaccinated. This is an example that Chris has given us where that medication is being used by so many people who have COVID that those people who normally use it can't access it. Abby says, I'm adding a comment so it doesn't look like Orion Thompson is the only one commenting. thank you, Abby. If you weren't married to Orion, I would probably, you know, take offense to that. Orion says, I feel that I missed out smoking during class in grade school. It's just so funny to me. Tell me where I'm wrong about this analogy, that when the state government came in and told smokers, you can't smoke in restaurants anymore, you can't smoke in businesses, you can't smoke outside of business, you can't smoke in a park in certain places, where were all the civil rights people? Where were they? Nowhere. Nowhere to be found. Why? For two reasons. One, they didn't smoke, so they didn't care. Two, they knew that smoking had an adverse health effect on people who have secondhand smoke. So science, and they didn't care because of the rights. How is that different from COVID? Tell me where I'm missing out on this analogy. And when a Salt Lake County council member says, I would never tell a parent how to parent their child in response to dealing with a pandemic, how is that different than saying, I think a parent should decide if their child can smoke in school? How's that different? Help me out. Heather says, that is insane. We're going back and forth here, but that's okay. I'm assuming you're saying that's insane about Afghanistan. I know. But remember, Trump had this, he had this crazy thing where he praised dictators. He praised authoritarianism, except in China. Well, I guess he did praise China's leadership. I take that back. He cozied up to the Taliban. And, man, it was supposed to be this huge banner thing. Now that that agreement has fallen flat, it's Joe Biden's fault. All right. Well, okay. Orion is back. He says they weren't programmed by social media. Oh, and Utah, that one was an easy one. They could have banned coffee too 30 years ago. And that would have also passed. Yeah, you're right. It's one of those crazy conflicts that we see from people who believe in rights and civil rights and are out screaming civil rights. But if you suggested laws that enforced morality or commandments, or religion, not so much. Then suddenly we're a Judeo-Christian society, and that stuff is okay. These are some of the conflicts that I don't think people see or are happening, but for some reason, I love to zero in on them, and I love to focus on them. So, let's see. Anything else from you guys? Carl's a little bit louder now. Can you hear Carl? I'll bet you could probably hear him now if you listen really closely. He's really loud now. He must have heard I kicked him off the show, and now he's back with a vengeance. Let me see if there was anything else in my in my show prep that I had flagged for tonight. We can just show prep together. Yeah, there was this story. I'm sure you saw it. Mike Richards steps down as the new Jeopardy host. Apparently this guy thought that things that appear on the internet years ago disappear somehow, that they don't resurface. Like there's some magical deadline when content online just disappears. And so the fact that he was a co-host of a podcast that was published digitally and he made some very disparaging remarks about women, I guess when he was vetted for Jeopardy, he just thought, I'm not going to tell them about that because nobody will ever find out. Yeah, well, they did. And when they did, he knew the gig was up and he had to resign. And the reason that this was on my list was because it's just a reminder, if you're a parent and if you're a human being, you need to remember that everything you put online, it's there forever. It is there forever. And there are things you can make, choices you can make as a teenager and post things that could stop you from getting into that college that you want to get into, stop you from getting that dream job that you want to, and yes, keep you from being a host of Jeopardy. And I think it's a pretty good general rule that you should assume that anything you're doing online will be seen, even if you think you're at a private forum, that it can and will be seen by everybody. Remember, everybody's phone has screen capture and the ability to share. And it's just one of the new realities of life. You need to operate in that way. And by the way, I think it's a good general rule to always, in your communication, ask yourself the question, what if the world saw this? What if my employer saw this? What if I was applying for a job and they saw this? It's kind of like the modern day equivalent of what would Jesus do? Do you know what I mean? It's like, ask yourself the question. We had, I don't remember where I was reading it, but you know, I've published a blog and several videos about the Lehigh teacher who was terminated for the toxic environment she created, not because of Trump and statements she made about Trump. You can erase those comments. She still gets terminated. But I was reading somebody's commentary. I don't remember who it was. And they're like, this is terrible. Now teachers are going to have to fear being recorded in the classroom. And I just thought for a second, I mean, honestly, I don't like the idea of students recording teachers in general. But I would kind of flip it and ask the question, what do teachers have to fear about being recorded in the classroom? Here's a general rule, wisdom from Jay. If you fear being recorded in the classroom, that is a sign that what you're about to say shouldn't be said. It's like a little cricket on your shoulder saying, what I'm about to do in this classroom, it shouldn't be done. And I don't know a lot of teachers, maybe some teachers, if you're listening, do you fear this? You know, things can be taken out of context and they can be clipped. And like I said, in general, I don't like the idea, but I would like to reverse it on you and say, what are you fearing? What are you saying? And this, by the way, I have some experience in this regard. So I'm not coming at you at this angle as somebody who doesn't make public commentary. One of the things that people asked me when I met with consultants and other people when I said I was going to run for Congress, they're like, oof, really? And I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, well, how long have you been in radio? I'm like, 20 years? And they're like, so you've been sharing your opinion on the radio for 20 years? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, do you know how much ammunition there must be in your past that the opposition can use against you from things you've said in the past? And I thought about it and I said, no, I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about it at all. Yeah, I've changed opinions over the years, so I guess you could call me a flip-flopper. But I'm not worried because I've tried to follow this standard, right? And I don't use the inflammatory tactics. I don't use the character assassination. I don't use those things. I think they're all a crutch. I think they're all a cop-out. I think they reveal instantly when somebody can't stand on their own opinions. And because I choose not to use them, I'm not worried. Knock yourself out. If you want to spend thousands of dollars of campaign dollars going through years and years of podcasts, go for it. Go for it. I'm not worried. And that's probably a good way to be. Ask yourself, if you're ever running for Congress, is this comment that I'm about to make, is that going to come back? And is that going to hurt me? Probably a good standard to live by, right? Orion says, did you hear about the conservative radio show host that died from COVID? Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but I brought him up in a podcast a few weeks ago, how he had changed his tune and he was really regretting his decision and telling people to get vaccinated. And unfortunately, he lost his life. And that's terrible. In fact, Orion asked me if I wanted to fill his job. Are you trying to get rid of me, Orion? Let's see. David says, what do you think about the Justice Department wanting to take action against states banning mask mandates? Is it the Justice Department or is it the Department of Education, David? Let me check here. You guys have time, right? Let's see. Because I saw the Department of Education story. Fraud alert, Justice Department. Send me a link, David. I might have just, you know, because anniversary and all. Let me see. Justice Department could also get involved, including by supporting lawsuits. Let's see. You don't need to send me the link. I think I found it. The Biden administration is exploring using the courts and federal funding to push states that are against mask mandates. The Education Department announced this week it may launch a civil rights investigation. Let's see. So there's a court case going on in Texas. This story doesn't talk a lot about the DOJ. Justice Department sues Texas over Greg Abbott's order. This is the Texas Tribune. The Biden administration sued Texas on Friday, asking a federal judge to block Governor Greg Abbott's order that state troopers... Oh, this is different. This is an immigration story. So I don't see a lot on that. Let's go back to that original story. I feel like we're just hanging out tonight. That's good, right? That's good. Yeah, this just says using the courts and federal funding. And we've always known they could use federal funding. I mean, that's what the federal government does. They hold schools hostage they have no constitutional authority to mandate that a local school does anything, and they know it. So instead, what they do is they hold those schools hostage to tax dollars. So they say, you will do this, or you don't get these federal dollars. I consider it extortionary, and I think those dollars should stay in Utah in the first place, not take them out of Utah, then put strings on them and send them back to Utah. That's nonsensical to me. Keep them in Utah and let us decide how to best use them. But that's a common tactic used to get schools to respond. Let's see, Brett on Twitter, great advice as the kids go back to school as well. It can be such a problem. Yeah, the advice about social media. If I was a parent right now, I would find all of these stories. I would find that story about the Jeopardy host. I would find any stories that I can that show the possible ramifications of misusing social media. And I would share those with my kids. And do it on a regular basis. This is one of the things I talk about in my parenting webinar, raising kids in a digital age. It's a new responsibility that we all have as parents. We weren't raised by parents in a digital age, so we have to make it up as we go along. That sucks. I hate that. But it is a responsibility. And when you think about all the potential ramifications from letting your kids online, from stranger danger to potential long-term ramifications of social media posts to cyberbullying. There's just too much out there, too much risk to just hand them the keys to the internet and say, good luck. Chris says, I wonder if sometimes we miss out on good leaders because of a mistake they made early on in life. People change. This is a great point, Chris. It was really a concern for me because you guys know I have a different upbringing. I dropped out of high school. I didn't go to college. I have bankruptcies. I made mistakes. And I've learned from all those mistakes. But I really didn't know or understood if those things would be used against me. I had always said on... in my 20 years in radio, I'd always said, if I ever run for Congress, dot, dot, dot. If I ever run for office, dot, dot, dot. One of those dot, dot, dots was, if I ever run, I will publish a book with all my evil deeds in it. And I did that. I didn't broadly advertise the book, but I did make it available. And I have a copy in here somewhere. So I published basically a synopsis of my life story and all the mistakes. And that way I thought I could take the fire or the power, the ammunition away. That way, if somebody said, well, what about this that happened to you? I'd say, yeah, I published that in my book. I told the world about it and what I learned from it. I think that we live in a time where we run from our mistakes, where in reality, our mistakes are what make us who we are. And those are what give us strengths. And so I always thought if those come up in a campaign, I'll flip them. But they didn't come up. And that's because I only was in the primary. They would have come up if I was in the general. There's no doubt in my mind. And it would have been really interesting if in our messaging we could have, you know, we could have overcome that. I don't know. But I was very worried about it. I was very stressed about it, that it would come up in the second debate. So much so that I had a little bit of a nervous breakdown. I realized all that stress was for nothing. That was probably the hardest part about that campaign, that stress for me. And the money, raising the money was the biggest part. So if I ever did it again, I wouldn't have those concerns anymore. But I think you're right, Chris. I think that a lot of people are being chased away. And I think that is very sad. David says it was mainly the Department of Education, I guess. Yeah, I did see that. Look, I don't like the federal government involved in education in any way. This is where I become the libertarian side of me comes out. Education is a local issue, and we should be deciding how our kids are educated. And if you feel a need to spread dollars around because of for economic reasons, for communities that don't have the dollars, the tax base to go into their schools and things like that, fine. Just don't put the strings on it. It's the worst kind of governing. This cookie cutter, there's only one way of doing things, and we're going to make everybody do it. It's the worst way to do it. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to run for Congress, to try and stop that nonsense. Because it's just, it stifles innovation. It makes all of us feel like we have no control. And when we feel like we have no control, we drop out of the system as far as getting involved. And that's why I always believe local is better. And that's when people say, this new government federal program is going to be amazing. I'm like, why on earth would you give more power to the federal government? It needs to stay home, stay here, because then we can have an impact on it. When you federalize something, you kiss it goodbye. You're literally saying, well, I think we should only... We'll go from having all Utahns being able to have an impact on this through their vote to only 6 Utahns. 4 members of Congress and 2 senators. Yeah, and they're up against how many congresspeople and senators in California and New York and everywhere else. Why would you do that? It's just nonsensical. One of the most important parts about our country was... People always talk about separation of powers with between the judicial, the federal, and no, judicial, get it right, Jay. Judicial, executive, legislative. And that separation of powers, very important. But they forget about the fourth one. Look, I'm all shaky tonight. Fourth one. Fourth shaky separation of power. State authority. The 10th Amendment. Everything not mentioned in the Constitution reserved for the states. I think that is one of the most important aspects, that states are considered sovereign except in those cases mentioned by the Constitution. Why? Because states should be controlling what states do. Why? Because that's the only way to keep the people involved in their government. Once it becomes federal, all control is lost. It's genius. I don't know if they really knew what they were doing, but it's genius. And we say goodbye to all that. All right, Tammy LeBaron says, since we're just hanging out, can you please tell me if I missed your podcast on what you thought of critical race theory? Or are you still working on that? And thanks for all you do, Jay, and love that. Our mistakes make us who we are. You are correct. Tammy, I did promise you guys a podcast on critical race theory, but here's my problem. I watched an hour-long seminar from some colleges that teach critical race theory. I watched several long interviews. And here's what I found. I found that critical race theory is not as defined as people make it out to be. And it is taught in different ways. And I found that nowhere was it being taught at an elementary, middle school, or high school level, that it was only being taught in graduate schools for the most part, and being taught differently. So I wasn't able to grasp onto here is this thing in critical race theory. Now, everybody else, they heard the label critical race theory and they heard it teaches that every person is a racist inherently. And they heard that, and that's all they needed to know. And they were off to the races, and suddenly all the coffers of everyone who is against critical race theory filled up with money. It was a fundraising effort. So the only thing I can really say to you, Tammy, is that I am against any teaching that teaches that people are inherently racist. I have no problem with teaching that teaches how racism has been a significant part of our history. I believe with all my heart that that needs to be taught and that we cannot run from our history. But how you teach it is so important. And did we ever get into this discussion? I don't know that we did, because we, once again, like with global warming and everything else, we get so caught up in the is it real or isn't that we never get into the important issues. Because those are just hot button things, and we label each other and then we're done. We don't have to deal with it anymore. So for me, the issue is about how you teach the history, because you can teach the history of this nation as negative. Look at the racism that still exists. Look at the racism in our history. And there are those who choose to have a very negative view of this country because of all of the pre-existing conditions and all of the things that were allowed to exist. That's not how I view this country. I don't view this country as a country that started with slavery. I view this country as a country that ended slavery. In order to understand that, you have to understand that slavery was here. It was real. It was ugly. It was wrong. And because of that, we ended it. So to me, this country is a country of great progress that started out with a lot of ugly. And it's not just racism. I mean, what gets lost is the treatment of women in that whole process as well. In the early days, that falls through the cracks sometimes, and it shouldn't. There was a lot of ugly there, but we have consistently overcome that. And I think what happens is people are so afraid to be labeled now that they have a tendency to try to kind of whitewash it. And that's not good. We shouldn't whitewash it. We should acknowledge it. We should be very real about it. Because if you're not real about it, you're not going to feel the progress of it. You're not going to be able to celebrate the progress of it. And if you're not real about it, you won't be able to gauge where you are at compared to where you are now, compared to where you want to go. And so the teaching of it is incredibly important to me. So much of my perspective has come from doing deep dives into those types of things. Things that affected me to my core about slavery. And I'm sure there are still so many things that I need to learn and need to know. But you know how I always talk about this, how there's a tendency to become what you hate in your fight for social justice. And we're seeing this, and some of the critical race theory that I saw that is being taught has gone to that level. And that is that you want to fight against people judging others for the color of their skin or thinking they're less because of the color of their skin. And so that is a terrible injustice. We want to fight that in society. And in fighting that, we adopt a viewpoint that all white people are racist. So you've adopted the very policy that you're trying to fight. where I believe that all men and women should be judged by the content of their character. And to look at if there is any teaching out there that teaches that because your skin color is white, you are inherently racist and you don't even know it. That's problematic, and I wouldn't support that. So I'm glad you asked. We had kind of moved on to Afghanistan and some other things, so I know I had promised some of you that. But from my own perspectives, I grew up – this is one of the reasons why you can't judge people because of their color or their skin. I grew up in one of the poorest areas of Northern California. I started out in Holiday, Utah. So when I grew up, I was about seven when we moved to California. And we lived in the neighborhood that was considered the murder capital of San Jose. We were incredibly poor, and it was a very diverse area. In fact, I didn't have any white friends. My best friend in middle school, his name is Jay, believe it or not, Filipino. I did have one white friend in middle school. His name was Skip. And in high school, there were probably about 12 white people. But my group of friends, my high school was mostly Asian, followed by a Hispanic, then Black, then white. My core group of friends were Asian, primarily, some Hispanic. My best friend in high school, his name was Victor, as we call him. And I always laugh because he couldn't say sandwich. He calls it a sandwich, and I still call it a sandwich today. So honestly, the reason I share this with you is because I remember, this is going to sound weird, I remember being taught in social studies about racism. And I remember thinking how odd that was. Because, I mean, I was in such a diverse area and had such a diverse group of friends. Now, how many people would look at me and just because of the color of my skin, with no knowledge of my background, no knowledge of my perspective, would assume just because of the color of my skin, it's the same thing with the idea of white privilege. So same thing with a lot of these ideas. You wouldn't look at me and say that guy was homeless. You wouldn't look at me and say that guy lived in squalor. You wouldn't look at me and say those things, but because you see the color of my skin, you might. And that's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong when it happens to Black people. It's wrong when it happens to anybody. So this is a very long story, Tammy, to just tell you that any time I find that there are principles being taught that judge entire groups of people based upon their color of skin, I will fight against them. They're not appropriate. But I will not tolerate a softening or a whitewashing of the horror that was slavery. That's just the absolute wrong thing. And anybody who feels guilty, ask yourself why. Analyze it. Don't run from it. Learn from it. Orion says, I've been reading too deep into the Federalist Papers. I'm assuming you're talking about my education rant. Tammy says, thanks, Jay, of kind of what I thought. I appreciate your thoughtfulness and thoroughness. Libby joining us. Hey, Libby says, that's bigotry and it's wrong. Racism has a power dynamic and it is important. I don't doubt or question any of that. as I said, I think it's very important that it's just like the Holocaust. I don't think that we do anybody a service by trying to soften that. I think, even maybe not middle school or elementary school, but I think that there ought to be some teaching in high school that teaches the horrors of slavery and teaches the treatment of women, and then the civil rights movement, Jim Crow laws, the right to vote for women and for African Americans and everybody else, all of those things. If you get out of the high school system and you haven't had a hard look at the foundation of this country, I think that that's dangerous. I really do. But I'm just not going to stand for any belief system that looks at me and assumes my background and my experience and my heart based upon the color of my skin. That's not right. All right. Wow. For not having done any show prep, we dove into some deep topics. We've been going for an hour and 10 minutes. Anything else on your guys' minds tonight? I can look and see if there was any other stories here. Majority say Biden is out of it. Aides are doing his job. I was speaking to one of you. You can raise your hand if you want. Who is concerned that Biden doesn't make it through his first 4 years because of his faculties. I don't know. I have been watching Biden for years. Biden has always had a problem speaking. And so I don't know. I don't know how to assess his faculties. I think that if you are assessing his faculties based upon his ability to articulate, then you should go back and look at the last 40 years of the guy trying to articulate. He has a speech impediment. He has fought stuttering. And the guy is the oldest president we've ever had. So I'm sure there's a little bit of diminished capacity there. Does that mean that he is, everyone else is running the show? I get out there and I watch him. He still takes questions. He doesn't take as many questions as he should from the media. But he seems to me to be in touch with the issues, even though he has. I'll tell you what. Since we're free-forming here, okay, I'm going to tell you what I think Biden's problem is with speaking. Beyond any speech impediments that he has. Biden doesn't have a pre-censor. Okay, I have, from 20 years in the radio business, I have a pre-censor that you wouldn't believe. And a part of it comes from the multitasking that I'm doing. I'm sure you realize that I'm reading comments while I'm talking and deciding what comments I'm going to share. I'm looking at stories. I'm watching breaking news. I have a pre-censor that is, I don't know how many seconds ahead it is, but it is a skill that I have developed over the years. A lot of people don't have a pre-censor. So here's what happens with Joe Biden. And my biggest frustration with him is the guy never finishes a sentence. Never. And the reason he doesn't is because he doesn't have a pre-censor. So he's listening to what he's saying. And then when he hears it, he realizes it's not coming out right. Watch him do this the next time you hear him talk. Not when he's reading a teleprompter. Watch him do this. And then he'll stop and he'll try and restart and correct himself. And he does it over and over again. And it makes it very hard for me to listen to him. I think it's no pre-censor. I don't think it's diminished capacity. I don't think that it's that he's being run like a puppet. I don't. I haven't seen that. And I don't. And I think reading too much into how he speaks is not fair to him. Just my opinion. But watch him. He'll hear himself speak And some people don't hear what they're saying until they say it. And a lot of people don't hear what they're saying even after they've said it. And even after they've written it down. I'll give you an example. This was in the JMAC update today. Oh, I'm going to have to do this carefully. Okay. Because I want you to be able to see it. But I think if I go here and I stop that and I do this. This was an example that I saw of somebody who does not hear the things they're saying even after they've written them down and prepared them. They don't have the ability to analyze what they're saying. Oh, you know what? I think I deleted it. But thank goodness for the trash, right? Let's see here. Okay, here it is. Watch this one.
It's going to end. Never. Our children will never see the freedoms that we enjoyed growing up. They are not even free to breathe fresh air. If God wanted us to cover our mouth and nose, he would have made us that way.
Okay. This woman wrote this statement down on her phone. She is reading the statement from her phone. Did you hear what she said? Let's try. I shouldn't laugh. But this is an example of somebody who they can't self-analyze.
When's it going to end? Never. Our children will never see the freedoms that we enjoyed growing up. They are not even free to breathe fresh air. If God wanted us to cover our mouth and nose, he would have made us that way.
Do you see the problem that I have with this? Okay, if God wanted us to cover our mouth and nose, he would have made us that way. Is this woman wearing clothes? I think she's wearing clothes. But if God wanted us to wear clothes, he would have made us with clothes. Wait, is she wearing glasses? Well, if God wanted you to wear glasses, he would have made you with glasses. Is she using a phone? If God wanted you to write stuff down or remember stuff on he would have made you so you could do that. Is she using a microphone? If God wanted you to have a microphone, he would give you a big booming voice. That just struck me. I'm just like, the spinning and the machinations that people are going through to justify the fact that they just don't want to be inconvenienced by a mask, and they're reaching for every possible straw. And of course, you got to bring a God into it. We're all over the place tonight. I love it. Chris, he says, I feel like most presidents let their advisors run much of the show behind the scenes, and I miss that during the Trump era. Yeah, I don't see that as a weakness, Chris. I don't think you do either. How can you run everything if you're a president of the freaking United States? No, I think if you look at the best presidents, effective use of your cabinet, effective delegation, knowing what to focus on and what to get involved in, these are all elements of good leadership. So somebody who tells me, you know, well, the advisors are running everything. Once again, that's a way to criticize when you don't have a legitimate criticism. Tell me what policy you don't like. Tell me what, you know, and for me, it feels to me like people who are saying diminished capacity or that his aides are running the show are judging him based upon his speech patterns and nothing else. I've told you what I think is happening in his mind. He doesn't have a self-censor and he hears it coming out. Just watch next time or go back and watch some clips like during the debate. He'll never finish a sentence. Why? Because he hears what he just said, what he started to say. And then he goes, oh, and then he hears that and he doesn't like that. Just my opinion. Let's see. So, also he's got the lowest, approval rating of his presidency right now. And honestly, I don't know how bad Afghanistan is going to hurt him. He's in an untenable situation because if you go back and as I've done and you look at the Taliban agreement with Trump and everything, you ought to, I think you should pull back and realize the accountability on both sides. And that he really inherited a stinky, stinky situation. I think it was a fool's errand from the beginning to ever trust the Taliban. But he's going to get judged by it. And because we're in a soundbite world, the only thing they're going to hear is we lost Afghanistan. Who was the president? Biden was the president. That's it. And, you know, I guess if you want that job, you have to be ready for it. Just like if you have a great economy, it's because you were a great economic president. Okay. I've never believed that. Let's see here. Chris says, I don't know that he will last all 4 years, not because of how he is speaking, but his age is really up there. I don't know how many 80-year-olds that could handle that stress and responsibility. Chris has a very fair point. We see it in the LDS church. We see some real fireballs, you know, at the top of the LDS church who just go and go and go. And then, but when they finally decline, they decline really quick, typically because of how hard they're working. I think that's fair. We've seen how the presidency aged Obama and aged Trump. So if you figure a presidency puts 10 years, 15 years on you, and you're already that age, I think that's fair, Chris. That's fair. That's a fair concern. The real question will be, you know, 2.5 years from now, will he run again? And if he does, that's a much bigger concern, right? But can he overcome Afghanistan? And of course, the vice president is being painted with Afghanistan as well. So it's going to be her problem as well coming up. If you're just somebody calling the game between Republicans and Democrats, Republicans are racking up points right now because of Afghanistan. Racking up points. How long will our memory be in that regard? We'll have to see. But they're racking up points. Anything else, my friends? Carl's still going. I can still hear Carl. Be sure to transfer your membership. Chris transferred his membership from Patreon, from Podbean, over to jmcfarland.com. You're going to get lots of rewards for doing that for the same money you've been contributing and supporting. And I hope that you can see that we're improving a little bit every day because of your continued support. And we're growing at a great pace right now. The show is growing over the last 2 months more, and it could be because a lot of people are getting out of the summer and getting back into school. Right now, we've got about 4 times the listenership than we did 4 months ago. Some of that is because of the change in how I'm broadcasting this. You may notice that I'm sending out everything out as live, even if it's pre-recorded. That's helping. And I think we're up to 6 followers on Twitch now. So maybe on my way to be a Twitch influencer. All right, my friends, anything else? Anything else on your mind? I think that we're good. It's 10:51. So thank you. Sometimes it's fun to just chat and just freeform. I promise I'll be more prepared on Thursday night. But I will tell you this. I want to thank my beautiful wife. Those of you who know her know that she's the reason. She is the reason why we've lasted 30 years. I have very little to do with that. In fact, I have done my level best to chase her away several times. So she is the one. David says, one piece of advice, set your category to politics. I don't know what my Twitch category is. I'll have to check. So great advice, Dave. He says it will help people be directed. I'll go and check right here as we log off. With that, thank you very much, my friends. Everybody have a wonderful night. Head over to jmcfarland.com. Become a member there. Help support the podcast, but now your support is going to get a little bit back for you, a little return on investment. So thanks again, everybody. Have a wonderful night. I'll see you.